Welcome to the Successful Mind Podcast, where you can expect cutting-edge information and strategies relating to success mindset, leadership, wealth creation, and relationships, all based in universal law and David Nagel's own experience as he rose from minimum wage forklift driver to multi-million dollar business owner. So, let's go.
Hey everybody, this is David Nagel. Welcome to the Successful Mind Podcast. As a reminder here on episode number 3 of the Four Agreements, I want you to remind you to go to the Facebook group Transformation 2019. Leave us your thoughts, leave us your ideas, leave us your transformation, and let's get this thing moving. Okay, so we're on to number 3 here. Number 3 is don't make assumptions and always do your best. So let me just come at you with both barrels here from Ruiz on don't make assumptions, because it ties right into the last chapter, which was don't take anything personally. He says, the third agreement is don't make assumptions. We have a tendency to make assumptions about everything. The problem with making assumptions is that we believe they are the truth. Now, what did I tell you in the last one? Everything was based on a lie, right? All of our fears, all of our anxieties, all of our worries, they're all based in lies. And what he's saying here is really profound. The problem with making assumptions is we believe that they are the truth. In other words, we believe the assumptions are the truth. We could swear that they're real. We make assumptions about what others are doing or thinking. We take it personally. And then what we do is we blame them and react by sending emotional poison with our word. So you see how this works backwards? The way that he's written this is just brilliant. In any one of these places, and even with the next one that I'm going to be talking about in a couple minutes here, about always doing your best, when you take your foot off the gas and you let that lie permeate into any one of these chapters or these agreements, it literally sends the whole thing backwards. It's like dominoes that are tipping over backwards. He says, this is whenever we make assumptions, we're asking for problems. We misunderstand. We take it personally, and we end up creating a whole big drama for nothing. All the sadness and drama that you have lived in your life was rooted in making assumptions and taking things personally. He says, take a moment to consider the truth of this statement. The whole war of control between humans is about making assumptions and taking things personally. Our whole dream of hell is based on that. We create a lot of emotional poison just by making assumptions and taking it personally, because usually we start gossiping about the assumptions. Remember, gossiping is a way that we communicate to each other in the dream of hell and transfer poison to one another. So, I mean, it is absolutely fantastic when you think to yourself, you know, if I was to change these first three things, then the third thing that I'm going to talk about, which is doing your best, it sets this up to be so much easier when I do this. So let's talk about making assumptions. We have to ask ourselves the question first: what do I assume to be true? How many times, and I'm going to give you the exercise right now, how many times do you make assumptions about everything in your world? And I mean everything, okay? So again, here's what we're going to do. You go back to your little personal journal, and for 30 days, you can add this to your list. This is not hard. Every time you make an assumption about something, write it down. We make assumptions about people all the time. Let's say you're sitting around and your wife says to you, what would you like for dinner? She says, what should we make the family for dinner? And you say, well, little Johnny or little Mary, they don't want broccoli. Now, unless you ask them, you're assuming they don't want broccoli. But I bet you you're thinking, yeah, but I know my kids, David, they don't like broccoli. But unless you ask them, you don't know. As we all know, people can change in a moment, in an instant. Your kids could all of a sudden decide that they want broccoli, or that they'll try broccoli, or that they even like broccoli, right? But if you assume based on past behavior, then you're believing in a lie. Because when did they not like broccoli? Last time you put it out. That doesn't even exist anymore. We do this, and you might think to yourself, oh, this is silly, this is ridiculous. I know what my kids like, I know what my wife likes, I know what my employees like, I know blah, blah, blah. When you do that, you're constantly assuming. Life would be so much easier for us if we would ask. So let's talk about this for a second as far as why do we make assumptions. Do you know a lot of the assumptions that we make are because of the fear of having to ask someone a question? That's right. Maybe it's not particularly the question that we're asking, although I would guess in a lot of situations it might be. Think about sex for a moment. How often do you assume your partner will like something specifically sexually, but you're not asking? And then you find out they're not in the mood for this, that, or the other, right? So communication and asking is very important. But what is it really? It's back to the fear again. It's back to the fear. We're afraid to ask because we're afraid to hear no. We're afraid to be rejected. We're afraid to be wrong. We're afraid that they will say something that we don't want to hear. That's a real big one for a lot of people, where we would rather just assume than have somebody say something that actually scares the hell out of us about what their answer might be. Oh my God, maybe they changed. If they changed, what would I do then? Because it sure wouldn't feel safe and secure. I know this person to be one very specific way, and I've asked them a question, and now they've changed. So I think that what we really need to think about is the reason why we make assumptions first, and then we need to really take a look at what it is that we're assuming and why are we assuming that. We save ourselves so much trouble when instead of assuming, we will take the one extra step and we will find out from an individual what they want, or we will find out what the actual fact is versus the assumption. I mean, the old idea, or the old adage was, when you assume, you make an ass out of you and me. That's what when you break the word assume apart, it says ass, you, and me. So when you assume, you make an ass out of you and me. And it's really true. It really is true. It doesn't take any more effort, and actually it's a lot more thoughtful and a lot more caring, and it shows interest when you actually ask instead of making an assumption. So for the next 30 days, I want you to take a look at what are you assuming, why are you assuming it, who are you assuming it with, and what are you afraid of? What are you afraid of as far as asking another person or for factual knowledge instead of making assumptions? At the end of the chapter, he says something I think that is quite fascinating, because he's talking about, and this is even before he gets into always do your best, he's talking about the idea of action behind these agreements. And he says, taking the action over and over again strengthens your will. Your will is your ability to focus. Nurtures the seed. The seed is the word, okay? When you read the first one, be impeccable with your word is a seed. It's a creative seed. And establishes a solid foundation for the new habit to grow. After many repetitions, the new agreements will become second nature, and you'll see how the magic of your world transforms you completely. He says in here, by making this one agreement a habit, your whole life will be completely transformed. And he's talking about using the power of our words for creation. When you transform your whole dream, magic just happens in your life. When you need What you need comes to you easily because Spirit moves freely through you. This is the mastery of intent, the mastery of spirit, the mastery of love, the mastery of gratitude, the mastery of life. This is the goal and the path to personal freedom. So when he says the path of personal freedom, he's referring to mastering these four agreements as the foundation of your life. I'm looking backwards, and I can see how mastery or close to mastery of these agreements in my life has made a tremendous difference over time. I would not be anywhere near where I am today if I had not started working on mastering these agreements a long time ago. And the cool thing about it is that it doesn't take a long time to start seeing results. It is going to be essential for your transformation in 2019 if you're participating in that, and I hope you are. That's just a little hint. In order for that to transform, whatever it is that you want to transform. Now, when we get into the part where it's the fourth agreement, always do your best. This was the third agreement that I made with myself when I went from 20,000 a year to 62,000. It was act like I love what I did, treat everybody with total respect, and always do my best, give my very best to everything. What he points out here, I can verify as being 100% accurate. So let me take a little bit from always do your best, the always do your best chapter, the fourth agreement, and share with you what he's talking about here. He says, there is just one more agreement, but it's the one that allows the other three to become deeply ingrained habits. The fourth agreement is about the action of the first three. Always do your best. Then he goes on to say, under any circumstances, always do your best. No more and no less. But keep in mind that your best is never going to be the same from one moment to the next. Everything is alive and changing all the time. So your best will sometimes be high quality, and other times it will not be so good. When you wake up refreshed and energized in the morning, your best will be better than when you're tired at night. Your best will be different when you're healthy as opposed to sick, or sober as opposed to drunk. Your best will depend on whether you're feeling wonderful and happy, or upset and angry and jealous. So, again, it's all weaving together, because what he's saying here is that in order for you to be in your best, if you're practicing the other three, it becomes easier to be in your best. For instance, he says your best will depend on whether you're feeling wonderful, happy, or upset, angry, and jealous. Well, we already know that the second two agreements, right, always don't take anything personally, right, and don't make assumptions. If we break those agreements and we start taking things personally, we're making assumptions. Where are we doing those things? We're doing them from fear. What are some of the expressions of fear? Being upset, angry, and jealous, right? If we're not in those places, if we're not taking things personally, if we're reminding ourselves that what other people, how they're behaving, what they're saying, or what they're doing is about them and not about you, whether it's good or bad, then you can keep your happiness. You can stay in your joy. If you're not making assumptions, then you won't be disappointed. You know that that's one of also the major causes of disappointment is making assumptions instead of really coming out and finding out what the truth is and then acting on the truth, acting on the facts and not just what you assume in your mind. When you make an assumption, you're not giving your best. But what you are doing is you're imagining something in your mind. Now, that could be based on some factual knowledge from a previous encounter. It could be based on a preference, or it could be based on a fear. But you're using your imagination in an incorrect way. When we don't give our best to something, we can find that we're actually doing the very same thing there. Because when we're not giving our best, what is the reason that we're not giving our best? Well, we find out that it's a breakdown of the agreements right from the very beginning. So if we think about being impeccable with our word and we say, okay, I am going to treat myself loving. I'm going to use my word as the creation of my life. When we're not giving our best, what's the conversation we're having in our head? I don't feel good. I don't feel like it. I feel sick today. My back hurts. My knee hurts. I'm tired. Maybe it is then moving into the idea where somebody pissed you off. So you took something personally and you're going to use that as an excuse not to give your best, right? So you're talking about they don't deserve it. I'm not going to go the extra mile for that person. They said something that made me angry. I don't like them because they have more than me. Now, we may not be actually saying that, but we're saying it in our mind or we're saying it in a derogatory way. But see, then what happens is because we took something personally, we're using them as an excuse not to do our best. And it's the same with assumptions. He says, in your everyday moods, your best can change from one moment to another, from one hour to the next, from one day to another. Your best will also change over time. As you build the habit of the four new agreements, your best will become better than it used to be because it's a muscle, right? When I was working on the dock, I remember that specifically the day that I had my little emotional fit in the back of the trailer, I was reprimanded that day for not doing quality work. And I got very angry and I screamed at my boss. And then I went back down to do my job. But I was just fuming. I was just absolutely fuming. And I was exhausted. If you had said to me, you know, you're not giving your best at that moment, I probably would have screamed at you too. The last thing I was doing was taking responsibility for myself. I'll tell you that right now. So, but I was breaking every one of these damn agreements, every single one of them I was breaking. And when I got really down into the lowest point of that night, It was like the pain and the suffering from breaking those agreements shed light on what the truth was. Because for some brief moment, I think the fear kind of left. It was almost like nothing mattered at that moment. I was open to anything. And what I allowed myself to be open to was experiencing the truth. And what was interesting was the truth came from within. It didn't come from somewhere else. I tell people all the time, it was like the voice was audible outside of me, but it really wasn't. It came from inside my head, but it was my higher self, you know, really trying to wake me up going, hey, you know, change your attitude. There's a different way of doing this. And changing my attitude was changing my agreements with myself. So as those agreements began to change, my best began to change. I would not care about the quality of work. And then what would happen is that, like, I would drive a pallet full of food, because that's what we loaded into the trailers was food. I would drive that in the forklift, put it down, and make sure that it was braced up properly so that it didn't fall over during the ride. Now, here's where I would actually challenge my best. So I would get out and do something to brace it up or whatever. And as I was backing out of the trailer, my mind was saying to myself, is that the best you can do? Is that the best you can do? Is that the best you can do? And I'm looking at the work that I just did, and I realized I can do it better. And I would pull back in, and I would actually get off the forklift, and I would do it better. I would do it the right way, the way that it should have been done the first time. But what it did was it built that muscle in me to really give it the very best that I could in that moment. And I can really resonate with the idea where he says your best won't always be your best because, there's times where you feel energized and enthusiastic and you're ready to just attack the world with your best. And there's other times where it's kind of like, oh, my God, I feel like hell today. I'm going to go out and really work at this, you know, harder. And I have to put more effort into it. But then it comes back around to, like what I said, I feel like hell today. When you do that, you're not being your word. So you speak about what you want, not about what it is that you don't want. So it's cyclical, right? It just keeps going around and around and around. And I think we have to understand that. So as we give our best, then that muscle is going to grow. Your best tomorrow should be better than your best was today. And then your best the next day should be better than what your best was the previous day. It keeps getting better because what we're doing is we're really adopting the idea that growth is the value system that we want to live by. And I think one of the reasons why people don't do this is that when we sit down and think about it, if we were to sit down and have a conversation about it, or you're sitting here, you know, listening to this podcast, you're thinking to yourself, wow, that sounds like a lot of work, right? Well, it is. That's the truth. It is a lot of work, but it doesn't have to be miserable. Because when we say, wow, that sounds like a lot of work, what are you associating that with in your mind where you're not being impeccable with your word? And it's probably something negative about the idea of work to begin with. What if you changed your impeccability with your word where you were going to talk about how much you loved your work, how much fun work was, how much you enjoyed it every day, how excited you are to get out of bed every day and meet your work with a newfound enthusiasm and excitement and creativity and dedication, and really pick goals that excite you, that you're going to work toward, things that you really, really want in your life, not just things that you think that you can accomplish, because that's how most people pick a goal. They pick a goal based on what they think that they can accomplish instead of going after what it is that they really want in life. And what you really want is tied to your heart's desire. It's something that breathes life into the depth of your soul and your living life and your family and your business and your employment and your church and all the different things that you might be involved in your life. It's what Wallace Wattles talked about in The Science of Getting Rich. He was talking about that, you know, the modus operandi of God basically is more life. And that begins with these agreements. That whole idea of more life begins with these agreements, because when you're following these agreements, it is the creative force behind everything that's moving you in the direction of allowing more life to come into your existence, into everything that you do. If we're thinking about the transformation that we're making for 2019, we realize that The first place where this transformation began to develop within us was the dissatisfaction of something that existed in our life prior to us making the choice that we're going to make a transformation. So we're looking at parts of our life, areas of our life, and we're saying to ourselves, "I'm not satisfied with that. I don't like that anymore. This thing that I'm going to transform has become a toleration in my life. It's not worthy of me. It's not setting a higher standard for myself. And I really want to change it." And then, of course, you have, you know, your personal reasons for wanting to change whatever your transformation is. The things that you're going to get out of it on the other end. What are the benefits going to be for you on the other side of that transformation? And then we bring in the four agreements, which is the foundation of the transformation. It's the foundation of how we need to think, how we need to speak, and the attitudes of mind that we need to have in order for that foundation to begin to be built so that it's really solid and strong. Then everything that we add to that foundation, it's got a solid rock to be built on, so it's not going to waver and it's not going to falter. So what you're doing is you're approaching this whole process from the idea of doing my best, right? Like, this transformation in 2019 could be the best transformation you've ever made in your life. It could be the most profound transformation you've ever made in your life up to this point. But it also could be the foundational transformation that you make, because you're doing it coming from a place of rebuilding and preparing your mindset for success, really preparing it for success, which allows you to move on to greater successes in your life as you continue to go forward. When I started back in the trailer, I was preparing myself for today. I was preparing myself for this recording. I didn't know that at the time, but that's what I was doing. I was preparing myself to be in my studio, in my home office, and teach something that's absolutely incredible that not only have I lived, but I've helped thousands of other people create in their own life. And it all came from doing my best in the trailer. You have to do your best where you are right now. Wherever you are, whatever it is that you're doing, when you're listening to this, the next thing that you're going to do in your day, when you get done listening to this podcast, give it your very best, and then give your best to the next thing, and give your best to the next thing. You're going to find that as you remove the idea that it's difficult, as you remove the idea that you don't like it from your mind, there's a couple of really fascinating things that happen. One is that it becomes easier, right? I mean, I suppose you saw that coming a mile away. But here's the other thing that I think happens. I think that when we start giving our best to something, it also starts to change what we choose to give our best to. In other words, I think a lot of people choose things in their life from the mindset of that they have to. And of course, that is not being impeccable with our word. And it becomes very difficult to give yourself, to give your best to something that you absolutely hate. I hated my job when I was on that forklift. That's one of the reasons why I changed. I was going to act like I love what I did. It became much easier to give my best to something that I loved that I was doing than something that I hated that I was doing. So over time, what that did was then it gave me permission to come from a place of self-esteem where I said to myself, you know what? I don't like certain things in my life. I don't like doing certain things in my life, and those things I'm not going to do. Here are the things I really like, and here are the things that are going to take me where I want to go, and the things that I love, and I really want to do those. And then it became easier to give my best to those things. But you still have to start where you are. As you change where you are, what happens is you become bigger or too big for the place that you're currently in. So you literally grow and expand into the next phase of whatever it is that you're transforming in your life, which is extraordinarily important. So you want to give your best to absolutely everything. One little more dropper here from Don Miguel Rez. He says, doing your best, you're going to live your life intensely. Now there's kind of a funness about the way he says that. You're going to be productive, you're going to be good to yourself, because you will be giving yourself to your family, to your community, to everything. But it is the action that is going to make you feel intensely happy. When you always do your best, you take action. Doing your best is taking the action because you love it, not because you're expecting a reward. Most people do exactly the opposite. They only take action when they expect a reward, and they don't enjoy the action. And that's the reason that they don't do it in the first place. They don't give their best. So every day, give your best. Give your best to everything that you can. And just check with yourself, you know, ask yourself at the end of the day, did I give my best today? Was there a place that I could have done better? And if the answer is yes, write it down and then apply it to whatever it is that you do tomorrow. One other critical piece of advice here. If you don't do one of these agreements or multiple of these agreements today or tomorrow, if you make the agreement and you don't do it, the last thing that you want to do is beat yourself up over it. Because what you're going to do then is you're going to use your, not be impeccable with your word, and you're going to focus on what you don't want. It'll cause you to repeat the mistake over and over again. You want to practice forgiveness, which means let go of completely. Let go and let God, right? I didn't do it. Okay. I'm letting it go and I'm going to do it today. That's what I'm focused on. And don't let anybody else come in there and try to beat the hell out of you because you didn't do something. We all make mistakes. Let it go and move on and give your best tomorrow. Remember to visit Facebook group Transformation 2019 and Happy New Year to everyone. It's going to be a fantastic year. We'll talk to you soon and we'll see you on the next Successful Mind podcast. Bye for now. Thanks so much for listening to the Successful Mind podcast. Be sure to check out the show notes for links to any resources mentioned in today's episode. And while you're there, leave us a review. I read every one. You can connect with me on Instagram and Facebook as well, and those links can be found in the show notes. And check out my free gift for being an avid listener at davidnagel.com/start here. See you next week.